and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God for our meditation this morning is read as our gospel lesson. Hear now selected verses. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise a cup after they had eaten, saying, This cup that is poured out for you is a new covenant in my blood. Thus far, God's holy word. In the name of Jesus, who offered his body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins, dear fellow redeemed, we are jumping ahead in our series, God on Trial, just a bit, to Maundy Thursday, the day before Jesus is arrested, tried, and crucified. In the next 24 hours, the disciples wouldn't know what hit them. Their Lord and their teacher would be ambushed in the garden by one of their own, tried in an illegal, one-sided trial, and put to death in a manner that is considered to be a curse for the Jews. It is written, cursed is anyone who hangs on a tree. One day everything seems fine, but by the next they have lost everything and are scattered and disheveled. But this day, Maundy Thursday, the chaos that will ensue is only in the future. The Lord provides for his disciples a time of respite. This respite was completely for their benefit. It would prepare them for what they were about to face. And it would be a continuous reminder of the grace that God has shown to the world. That night, Jesus and his disciples were celebrating the Passover meal. This meal was done in remembrance of when the Lord had delivered his people out of the land of Egypt. God had warned Moses that ahead of time that the 10th and final plague would be the death of the firstborn. There was only one way to escape this fate: to have the blood of a spotless lamb painted over the doorpost of their house. When the angel of the Lord passed through Egypt, death came without distinction. But to those who abided by the word of the Lord, they were protected by the blood of the lamb, gathered around the special meal as the Lord had commanded them to do. Every year, the people of God who continued to trust in his promises celebrated the same Passover meal. They were to remember how they once were in chains, but the Lord delivered them by his own hand. But the purpose of the Passover was not just to look backward on their history, but as a reason to look forward. It stood as a picture of the Lamb of God who would shed his blood on the cross in order to deliver all people from sin and death. It is clear why Jesus says, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For centuries, God's people anxiously awaited the great deliverance that was promised to Adam and Eve, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And finally, the time had come. The Lamb of God is here. He is sitting in the upper room with his closest friends, bringing to close the old and ushering in something new. This is the last time that the Passover needed to be celebrated. Because no longer will God's people need to look forward for their deliverance. It will already have come. It will have been accomplished. Now, Jesus gives to his disciples a new remembrance. His body broken and his blood shed for their sins. In this supper, Jesus gave to his people his very body and blood. The very things that he is about to offer upon the cross in order to seal God's new covenant with his people. One sacrifice for all, so that the unrighteous might become righteous. Innocent blood shed. Forgiveness received. This meal that the Lord gives to his people is even greater than the Passover. Because whenever it is celebrated, God's forgiveness is given through the Savior's body and blood that he sacrificed. Not only that, but it will serve as an anchor for his disciples as they would endure the terrifying events of Good Friday. Though due to their grief and fear, they may not have realized the significance of what Jesus had just given them, it would become the most intimate and important meal of their lives. But Jesus was clearly looking further ahead than his own disciples. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is his gracious ruling in the hearts of believers. This comes to us in the gospel, in word and sacrament, including the Lord's Supper. There is nothing that we bring to the Lord's table. If anything, we only bring our sin and our guilt. The very things that disqualify us from approaching God in the first place. None of us have deserved to have the kingdom of God come into our hearts. But nonetheless, it has come through God's grace and favor. In the same way that our Lord reached out to give unto his disciples his very body and blood for the forgiveness of their sins, so also does our Lord reach out and invite you to partake of the same body and blood and receive the same forgiveness of sins. Jesus did not institute this supper for his own sake. Is purely for the sake of his disciples and his people, for your sake. The disciples were about to have the whole world turn their focus and hatred onto them as they took the gospel to every corner of the earth. This supper will give them the spiritual strength and renewal needed to withstand being put on trial through persecution, hatred, or outright rejection. And the supper serves the same purpose for you today. The world does not neglect to come after you and put you on trial right next to God. Remember Jesus' words in John 15. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you are of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. Outside of these walls is a world full of enemies. Those who will hate you for simply honoring what God has spoken. Those who despise the goodness of God and the blessings that we enjoy. At every avenue, the world puts God on trial and drags you into the mud of their ire right along with Him. So what better reason to be here? Not just at church, but here to receive the very body and blood that your Savior gave into death in order to purchase your life from sin and death. In this meal, Jesus comes to you and offers you rest away from the world, away from its hatred and guile. Here, you are reminded of the peace that is present between you and God and the inability of your enemies to take that away from you. And what about the enemy that dwells within you? Your sinful flesh. Does your conscience weigh heavy with sin before you approach this altar? Do feelings of unworthiness consume you because of a sinful vice that lay hold of your life? I can tell you the sinful flesh was alive and present in that upper room on Monday, Thursday. Not in Jesus, but in every single one of His disciples. And yet Jesus called out to them with His grace and love to offer them forgiveness for their sin. Yes, even for the one who would go and deny Him three times. Yes, there was forgiveness possible even for the one who would go and betray Him. You are no different. Jesus reaches out to you with His grace and love to offer you forgiveness. He says, "Come to Me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For My yoke is easy and My burden is light." There is no sin too great, no burden too heavy, no person too broken. God gives you His body, perfect in all things, and in which He honored God even unto death. God gives you His blood, in which He washes you completely clean and makes you holy. He eagerly desires to share this meal with you, to give you what you most desperately need, the nourishment for your soul. These are the blessings that Jesus gives to you when He calls you to this altar. But it is not just given to you. It is given to all of you. We all approach the throne of God together in communion to share in the comfort won for us in the death and resurrection of our Savior. Jesus unites us with His body and blood. This communion we share in the body and blood of Christ unites us so that we may face our spiritual battles together. A common enemy is opposed to us all, but for us fights a common hero, one who gave up His life in order to avoid the power of our enemy, one who gives us a most precious respite in His body and blood, and a constant reminder of God's grace and love shown to the world. If this life is like a courtroom where the world puts God on trial, God and His people on trial, think of the supper as a recess, a respite. Jesus ushers you into a quiet room where there are no accusations, no prosecutors, no hostile witnesses, only faithful supporters and a promise of a victorious outcome. How eagerly we desire to eat this meal. Here we have peace. Here we stand in the presence of God. Here we are surrounded by His people. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Our service continues with the singing of hymn 755 in the Brown Worship Supplement.